Is BTCFI actually becoming a thing, or is it just rebranded DeFi? BTCFI has become one of those terms that sounds more precise than it really is. Sometimes it means native BTC staking for shared security. Sometimes it means a Bitcoin-backed asset moving into a smart contract environment. Sometimes it means a sidechain or signer-based system that still asks users to trust extra layers. And sometimes it is just ordinary DeFi with Bitcoin collateral and a new label. That does not make BTCFI fake, it just means the category needs sorting. Short answer, BTCFI is real, but it is not one product design. The market splits into four buckets: native BTC security and staking models, Bitcoin-backed assets on Bitcoin-linked smart contract layers, sidechain or bridged Bitcoin systems, and plain old DeFi that simply uses Bitcoin as collateral or branding. Why the label got loose so fast for years? The default way to make Bitcoin productive was to leave Bitcoin behind. You wrapped it, bridged it, deposited it with a lender, or handed it to an exchange. That created real utility, but it also created the trust assumptions that burned users in the Celsius, BlockFi, and cross-chain bridge era. The BTCFI pitch is supposed to be different. Keep Bitcoin closer to Bitcoin while still unlocking yield, borrowing, or smart contract use. That is a real shift. The problem is that the label now gets applied to almost anything with BTC exposure and some kind of financial logic attached. So the useful question is not, is BTCFI real? It is, what happens to the BTC? Where does execution actually happen? Who controls exits, signer sets, or bridges? Where does the yield come from? Those are the questions that separate actual progress from marketing compression. The four buckets: native, BTC security, and staking models. This is the strongest claim to the BTCFI label. Babylon is the clearest example of why. The core idea is not move BTC into a DeFi app and farm with it. It is closer to using Bitcoin as a source of economic security for other systems while keeping the asset on Bitcoin itself. That is meaningfully different from wrapped BTC on Ethereum. The important part is what it is not. Not ordinary BTC lending, not a custodial earn account, not an ERC-20 representation of Bitcoin in a general-purpose DeFi stack. This is the cleanest version of the BTCFI pitch. Make Bitcoin economically useful without first turning it into some other chain's synthetic asset. Bitcoin-backed assets on Bitcoin-linked smart contract layers. This is where the category gets more interesting and more arguable. Stax's SBTC is not native BTC DeFi in the purest sense, because you are still moving into a protocol with additional execution and signer assumptions. But it is also not the same as plain wrapped BTC on Ethereum. The whole point is to keep the system tied much more directly to Bitcoin while enabling smart contract use that Bitcoin L1 does not natively offer. This bucket matters because it is where a lot of future BTC utility probably gets built. Borrowing trading app layer payments, Bitcoin-backed smart contract activity. It still adds trust surfaces. It just does so in a Bitcoin-centered way, rather than in a fully foreign DeFi environment. Sidechain or bridged Bitcoin systems. This is where the BTCFI label starts to get stretched. Rootstock has been around for years and remains one of the clearest examples. It gives Bitcoin users EVM-style smart contract capability, but it does so through a federated bridge and sidechain design, rather than by making Bitcoin L1 itself programmable. That can still be useful. It is just not the same thing as native Bitcoin finance. The same caution applies to newer systems that market Bitcoin utility aggressively, while still depending on bridges multi-sig or signer sets, sidechain security models, separate execution environments. These systems may be perfectly legitimate, but users should not confuse Bitcoin linked with trust minimized in the way Bitcoin itself is. Rebranded DeFi with Bitcoin on top. This is the weakest bucket. If the product is basically wrapped BTC in a general purpose DeFi protocol with standard lending, LP, or leverage logic, then the better description is usually still just DeFi with Bitcoin collateral. That does not make it bad. It only means the term should stay honest. Aave with WBTC exposure is not the same thing as a Bitcoin native financial stack. It is still useful, but it belongs to a different trust model. A better quick test, BTCFI quick test. The more times you have to say wrapped, bridged, signers, federation, or another chain before explaining how the product works, the less native the BTCFI claim probably is. Ask these questions in order. Does the BTC stay on Bitcoin, or does it move into another chain environment? If it moves, what secures the representation? Can users exit cleanly if the extra layer breaks? Is the yield coming from security services, borrowing demand, or simple token incentives? Would a normal DeFi user recognize this as just DeFi with BTC collateral? That test is more useful than any headline APY. What is actually new in 2026? The useful change is simpler. More teams are trying to build financial activity around Bitcoin without defaulting to centralized custody or lazy-wrapped BTC shortcuts. That includes Babylon-style security and staking models, Bitcoin-linked smart contract layers trying to keep the peg or control model closer to Bitcoin, growing interest in using BTC as collateral without immediately selling it. CoreDAO's documentation is also relevant here, because it shows another path the market is taking. Self-custodial BTC staking tied to a separate network's security and reward model. That is real utility, but it also shows why BTCFI should be treated as a spectrum rather than a clean category. Some versions feel much more Bitcoin native than others. BitVM belongs in the conversation too, but carefully. It is better understood as an architectural direction than as a mature user facing BTCFI primitive right now. People use it as shorthand for Bitcoin can support more expressive off-chain computation with on-chain verification. That matters. It does not mean every product invoking BitVM has solved BTC-native finance. The mistakes people keep making mistake. 1. Treating all Bitcoin yield as the same. A headline 3% or 4% number tells you very little by itself. Yield can come from protocol security rewards, borrowing demand token subsidies, exchange custody programs, opaque treasury management. Those are completely different risk profiles. Mistake 2. Assuming Bitcoin-centered means trustless. It often does not. A product can be more Bitcoin-centered than wrapped BTC on Ethereum and still depend on a signer set of federation and off-chain bridge governance assumptions. That is an improvement in some cases. It is not the same as no extra trust required. Mistake 3. Pretending card relevance is already huge. This is where a lot of article versions overreach. BTCFI matters to cards mainly because it could change how Bitcoin holders think about funding spending, spend against BTC-backed credit, keep BTC exposure while borrowing use, Bitcoin-linked yield or collateral more efficiently. That is different from saying mainstream crypto cards are already running on native BTCFI rails. In most cases, they are not. What this actually means for crypto cards. The card angle is real. It is just narrower than the branding suggests. BTCFI matters for cards when it improves one of three things. Borrow instead of sell. This is the most obvious case. If BTC holders can borrow against Bitcoin-linked collateral rather than sell spot BTC to fund spend, the card becomes more attractive for long-term holders. That is conceptually similar to what crypto credit cards already try to do with other collateral types. Keep productive Bitcoin exposure closer to the spend stack. If a user can earn some form of Bitcoin-linked return or security reward without fully leaving the Bitcoin environment, the balance sheet decision changes. The spend layer becomes less about liquidating a static asset and more about managing collateral or productive exposure. Improve the trust model around Bitcoin spending. For many users, the real value is not APY. It is avoiding the old pattern. Deposit BTC to a centralized platform, trust the platform with custody spend from an opaque internal ledger. If BTCFI reduces that trust gap, even modestly, it matters. But the category is still early. For now, most users choosing a Bitcoin-friendly card should care more about custody liquidation logic, funding flow tax treatment, than about whether the marketing page says BTCFI, the best way to read the pitch. If a platform says it offers BTCFI-linked spending, do not ask only what is the APY. Ask, is my BTC still really on Bitcoin? What breaks if the secondary layer fails? Who controls withdrawals? Am I earning on BTC, borrowing against BTC, or just holding a pegged representation elsewhere? Those answers tell you whether you are looking at something new or just a familiar DeFi structure with better branding.